What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Action Ignited podcast, the podcast to ignite your action and help you reach your goals and far more than just health and wellness. Today, we'll be diving into Beyond the Burn, the art of tracking. Today, we'll share two live examples of Ann and Joe, how tracking positively affected them both. We'll dive into their experience with tracking meals and tracking workouts and expand our conversation to help you on your wellness journeys. As always, we're your co-hosts, Jason Hogarth and Ism Hadahat. Join us on this conversation and let's get on this wellness journey together. Yo, yo, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? This topic, those names, the only thing I could think of when I hear tracking and Joe is the show that me and you both love to watch, You, on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. It's
not a paid advertisement.
Not a paid advertisement. It's such a good show. I don't even know how to, is it like mystery, murder mystery in a way? Is that probably the category?
I feel like now it's like murder mystery-ish. Before it was just like mysterious.
It's a love story. Mystery.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's a love story. It's a great show. We don't mean tracking like that, at least yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll show you tracking. So we'll dive right into it. I wanted to share an experience, and to give some privacy, we are using the names Ann and Joe to, you know, be professional here with these stories. So first up, we'll share the story of Ann. And what happened here was, when it comes to sustainable coaching, sustainable fitness and wellness, I'm a firm believer in, you know, progressively teach people, hey, show up and let's stack different things over time. For Ann, we got really good at showing up with training, but there's a lot of resistance when it came to tracking meals, and there's a lot of sensitivity with meals based off of past experience. So once we got down, hey, we're training consistently, let's start implementing nutrition, we've learned the right foods to eat, when to eat, different things like that, how to eat for performance, she finally was confident and comfortable to start tracking meals. And it took a few months. And why I love sharing this story was it took a little over 6 months, I want to say close to 9 months. And once she started tracking, she started giving good feedback, like, hey, I'm finally seeing different foods that make me feel better. I can finally see that, hey, I'm supposed to be at a calorie or a caloric deficit. Now I see that this food is a little more calorie dense than the other. Now, the specific example was, so she'll meal prep for the week, specifically for like breakfast foods. And she was making breakfast sausages so she can make a nice like breakfast sandwich during the week. And at first she was using just like normal breakfast sausage. It fit her macros. The fat was just a little bit high, but calorie and protein, we were kind of there. As a meal by itself was kind of calorie dense. So she was shopping one day and saw a different thing that she may have wanted to use as a substitute, and it was a chicken sausage. Goes home, and obviously she bought that instead. Does the whole meal prep, tracks everything, and she finds out after tracking, it was like 300 calories less, a little bit higher in protein. Saturated fat was down 10 plus, and then even the overall fat was down. And she had a realization that, hey, I've been doing this all this time with just the other sausage. This has given me an opportunity to be accountable and see, hey, how are some ways I can improve nutritionally without feeling like restrictive, without feeling like, hey, do this. It was first, let me see what I'm already doing and how can I improve from there. So I thought that was a really cool example. She got this find a way that was sustainable for her and find a way that didn't feel super restrictive in order to reach her macros and meet that nutritional goal there. So that's the first story we'll share with you guys.
Yeah, I think it's very cool because there's a lot of different things there to unpack. The first place my mind goes is that, you know, when we think about starting fitness journey, tracking calories, all that stuff, it sounds very burdensome, like it's just way too much work, stuff like that. But in reality, like, especially with meal prep, you can make it very simple, especially if you're eating the same breakfast every day. Like a lot of apps out there, like I use My Fitness Pal, not an ad, but you can just swipe and it'll bring your breakfast from the day before. So like it makes it really easy to go through the process and track. But also like just that one small change freed up, you said 300 calories a day.
Yeah, pretty much. Or overall.
Overall. Okay. So I'm not that good at math to do 300 divided by 7, but whatever it is, like, you're that much closer to, if you want to be in a caloric deficit, like, take that off just by making a switch. You're having the same exact meal. You just switch the type of meat that's in the sausage, and like, you're already able to cut some calories without changing your current diet, which is a very cool thing. Cause I think when people look at, you know, just dieting in general, they go from, okay, I'm currently eating this, just normally it's the, what is it? The seafood diet. If I see it, I'm going to eat it.
Yep.
So it's typically that. And then when they start to focus, they're like, okay, all of this is gone. I'm buying chicken, rice, vegetables. And then it lasts for a week because it was too big of a shift to make all at once. So I think the big thing that you call out is like non-restrictive and sustainable way of living that you could actually keep up with over the long term. So it's like slowly making small changes, figuring out what works for you to get closer and closer to your calorie goal and your macro goals. And it's just like finding those small things that don't even, like, I've had chicken sausage before. It really, like, there's not really much of a difference. It still tastes like breakfast sausage, stuff like that. And for other foods, like, there's plenty of substitutes out there just like that, where really doesn't even change the meal. It just, it's one thing different about it. Like, there's a cheese that Kraft has, like a string cheese, mm-hmm. that I'll put in my breakfast that's like just protein. It's like their fat-free version. And it just helps me hit my protein goal a little bit easier.
Yeah. And like, you almost change. Yeah, and you almost like trick your mind of, hey, it's still a cheese. It's still my breakfast sandwich. It's not a huge, huge difference. Sometimes, depending on the substitute, yeah, there'll be a taste difference, but you'll never know unless you try it out. And I think to kind of expand on this particular story, Anne shared that, you know, when she was tracking, she found, and this, it just depends on the person. For her, she found that, hey, I like to track in the morning, at least for my first two meals. So she tracked breakfast and lunch. What she ended up finding on some days, she was already meeting the protein goal or close or whatever the case, that when it came time for dinner, once she inputted that, she already knew that, okay, by the time I'm done eating my dinner, I have this much calories left. I can actually treat myself. And that's the cool thing with like flexible dieting. If we had to really give that like a title or term, that's essentially what it is. It's non-restrictive. It's flexible towards already like your nutritional lifestyle, just working to meet the nutritional goal that you'll need. And again, going back to her example, there were some times where she knew, okay, I can have some ice cream. I can have a piece of dark chocolate. I can have whatever that like fit her, you know, palate. She was able to have that without feeling guilty about it, and it fit. And that's a cool thing there. So it wasn't restrictive. And then just as, you know, everybody's hearing this and listening, it's like, okay, the tracking, like, what am I tracking? Try to make it super simple. Any food you eat is your energy. So you start there. You need a certain amount of energy. From there, the food is broken up and made up by or from macros, macronutrients. All those are protein, fats, and carbs. And obviously each protein, fat, and carb makes a part of your meal. Protein's usually like a source of like meat or a bean, a legume, things of that nature. You have your veggies, that's usually like a carb, a starch, things of that nature. And then you have your good fats, like the avocados, the good fats from fish. Those are just some examples there. And then the last piece, the micronutrients, don't necessarily track those, but you can. And those are the vitamins you get from your food. That all that to say, that is what helps you live optimally, is eating food. Usually people just think, okay, I just eat some food. I'm going to start tracking. It becomes overwhelming. It's not once you get the hang of it. You're just looking to find a way that you can enjoy foods that you actually like to eat. And then how can it help you within your, you know, lifestyle and goals that you have wellness wise.
I think that's the most important thing that we could say on the topic, is like, the goal is to still enjoy what you're eating. It's not to like fully restrict you into eating in a square box. Like, none of us are, well, I shouldn't say none of us. You never know. There might be someone out there that has aspirations to be a professional bodybuilder. And like, yeah, you're going to have to get very restrictive. But for the vast majority of people, like, that's just not the case. And I think that's where tracking does become intimidating a little bit at first, is like, everyone thinks like, oh, now that I'm tracking, I need to be perfect. And that's not really the case. Like, the goal is to start getting information. like, you don't know how much protein you're eating, fat, carbs, if you're not tracking. Like, you can guess, but most of us, I think, are pretty bad at guessing what that comes out to. The other part of it is like portion size. Once you do start tracking, like, just to go into a couple of pitfalls, is you have to make sure that if you're tracking, I had one serving of, you know, whatever, pancakes or milk or whatever, did you actually have that many ounces, or did you pour a 12 ounce glass of milk and you tracked it as 8? Because like, if you do that all day, it'll add up to where you could be a couple hundred calories off even when you are tracking. So accuracy is a big thing, but really the goal, as far as how I look at it, is initially it should be, let's start getting some information. And once we see where we're at from there, we can make some honest decisions about like, okay, like, is there a substitute that we could one for one switch that's just better, but doesn't alter it a lot? And then if it's, you know, really out there, like, maybe there is some alterations where it's like, let's cut this out except for like special occasions, or like when you do have that surplus to splurge on some ice cream or something like that. But just making sure that we're doing it like in moderation, to where we're still enjoying the things we eat. But you can't really do that in a confident way if you don't have any type of information to base your decisions off of.
Yeah, really excited when you said gather information. It's obviously the nerd side of me, but the more information you have, the better. Because then you know how to measure, like, what are your measurables? You know how to measure these things out. And we've talked about it when it comes to like SMART goals and goal setting. You need some type of thing to be your measurables. And this may be that for nutrition. Now, when it comes to measurables and tracking, we have an example that we'll talk about with Joe. And for Joe, we've talked about stress management a whole bunch, and we're going to continue to do it till we're blue in the face. And stress management is literally how to live optimally so you don't get burnt out. Now, with Joe, thankfully, we have the MyZone tracking devices. He does have Apple Watch, so we get to track his specific workouts, his training sessions. If we didn't have those, there's a potential we would get burnt out. Now, this is what happened. When we go into our sessions, we're doing a 12-week program. We were on like week 2. And I was, you know, picking up more information. Hey, this is his first time training in a few months. He's with a new trainer now, myself. Let's see like what he used to do in the past. Moves relatively well. What happened was, during the workout, we'd be in the red zone, which is essentially like 90% of your max heart rate. We were there so many times during the session, and I'll explain to you guys in a second what the flow of the session should look like heart rate wise, but we were in the red almost entirely the entire session. This can lead to burnout because there's a such thing as your central nervous system that gets taxed. You're going to feel very fatigued after your session. You'll feel fatigued for 2 days after your session. So that's one. Two, you put so much stress on your joints being at such a high workout capacity where you really do not need that. The other thing too is, we're not going to be able to lift as heavy, not meaning we have to max out, but you want to lift heavy enough so you can build some lean body mass and lean muscle that, one, your muscles can repair after, but two, when they are repairing, you could burn more at rest. That's why we don't want to max out, go crazy every session. We need to be able to recover, do enough stress in the session so we can build lean body mass, so in return, you could burn fat in the long run. First few weeks of Joe, we noticed he was in the red way too much. We had a conversation. How do we slow this down during a session? Hey, let's take longer rest periods. Hey, you do not need to be in the red. That was one. Two, you don't need to be sweating your life away during the session. We need to periodically, that was such bad pronunciation. We have periodically. Yes, thank you so much. We have to do that in our session to be able to control what's going on. Now, again, if we didn't have the trackable devices, we wouldn't know where he's at. And, you know, now we're little by little getting there, understanding where to be optimally. But that was his experience there. If it wasn't for the tracking, we wouldn't know. It's so easy just to say, hey, I'm going to go full out all the time, lift as heavy as I can, barely rest, and you don't know you're doing more damage than good.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, in that situation, like, not recovering well and burnout is probably the best case scenario. Because it's like also when you're overtraining like that, like you leave yourself so much more susceptible to injury too.
100%. Which
if you want to deal with a setback, like if you injure yourself, you, now you're off your feet for who knows how long, depending on what the severity is. It could be weeks, it could be months. So it's like, then you're going to fall behind even more. So you have to find that, that balance in between of pushing your limit to where you are getting those gains. You're getting the strength gains, you're increasing your cardiovascular health, but not so much so that it's becoming a detriment to yourself.
For sure. And to go back to the workout flow that I mentioned, it's easy to go into work and have a fast heart rate, stressed out from the day, whatever the case. You want to slow that down first. So as a flow of your entire session, medium, low heart rate, get into it, be super intentional. You're doing your mobility, you're stretching, you're getting your movement prep in, your core and your glutes activated, and you're going to spike your heart rate. So your heart rate during your warm-up should literally be like a steady line with a peak going up. Spike your heart rate, then you're going back down slowly and you're staying midline during your session. That's your strength portion. At the end, you're going to condition, depending on the type of conditioning, you want to be medium to high and then you want to bring it back down. Your workout flow should literally be like a roller coaster at an amusement park. You literally want a slow build up. Oh my God, it's exciting. Let it drop back down, let it cool down, and then you're done. Go to the next ride. That's like the best way I can explain that.
I like that. I've never heard lifting described as a roller coaster. Amusement
park.
Go to the next
roller coaster.
Go get on the Ferris wheel, do some cycling.
Do it. That's another good one. Steady cardio. It's a cycling. Yeah. It's your Ferris. Yeah, that's another good one.
There we go. This is way off topic, but it popped into my head when you mentioned, you know, when you're coming into a workout, it's easy for our heart rates to be built up. And like just from stress from the workday, whatever, you come in and now you're going to do a workout. I know we've talked before, like you'll sometimes recommend to people do some box breathing to slow the heart rate down before they actually get into their workout. Here's a business idea for you. Service puppies at the entrance. They just get pet all day and then that calms everybody down. And then you go do your workout and you leave. It's kind of like dog. It's yoga with dogs, but like weight training.
Some gyms open floor layouts, the owners have dogs. I've seen that happen before.
We'll call it the dog pound. We get.
Oh,
see, I would love that, but there is a gym that I know of that they're really good at what they do, and they are called the dog pound, which makes me excited but sad. Excited for them because they're really successful, but yeah.
Well, one day we'll come up with a different name. Something. But that some with service puppies. That just sounds.
We could still have service puppies. Stay tuned for our future talks about the other things.
There we go. But yeah, to get back on task, anything else that you wanted to add into our discussion today about Joe and Anne, the art of tracking before we wrap up?
No, I think we really just hope, as always, you guys can take these real life scenarios and stories and take these as tools. How can you implement this into your lifestyle? So when it comes to nutrition, we're just trying to get more information. Like Jason said, that's one. And two, we want to know, like, what are we putting in our bodies? How can we improve it? It's not about being restrictive. It's about being accountable so you know where to go from there and how to measure that. When it comes to the physical side of things, it is important to track. You don't have to go buy a smartwatch, but if you don't know where to start and you can have a smartwatch or have some type of device that will track these metrics for you, do it. That way you know, hey, am I in too much of a max heart rate, high heart rate? Hey, am I too low? Sometimes you may be at such a low heart rate, not sweating enough. It's, again, you're supposed to go into a session and think you're going to sweat your life away. Sometimes it's not about just that. But you want to track these things too. So you know that, hey, you're going to get your results because you're doing just enough optimal stress on your body, or some days you have to go a little bit higher, some days you need to go a little bit lower. It's important to track these things so you know which direction you're going.
Beautifully said. And as we wrap up today's discussion on smart and a sustainable approach to tracking calories and workouts, we hope that you did take away some nuggets, some lessons learned from our friends Joe and Ann about their journeys on going through the calorie tracking process, as well as what to do in the face of potential burnout. With that, thank you for joining us on today's episode. If you found these tips helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, share your own tracking experiences. You can reach out to us at Action Ignited on social media or send us an email in the one in the description. Until next time, start tracking, learn from it, and stay ignited.